All right, so the main effects model just gets a little bigger. We still have one variable representing the centered quantitative variable, but now we have two variables representing the three groups of the K category variable. If we got three groups, we need two codes, dummy codes set up this way, Z1 and Z2. What is the comparison group for this set of dummy codes? How do you know it's three? Zero for both. Okay. What is dummy code one going to do? What pairwise comparison does dummy code one give me? Group one and group three. Okay. We know this is the comparison group. This is going to compare group one and group three. What pairwise comparison does dummy code two give me? Make sense? So A and B1 are going to tell me the height and slope of the comparison group line. Because it's a main effects model, the slope of the comparison group line is going to be the same as the slope of group one and the same of the slope of group two. Right? Main effects model. All the groups have the same slope. So the only way the groups can differ from each other is their height. B2 tells us the line height difference between group 1 and the comparison group. B3, which is associated with Z2, tells us the height difference between group 2 and the comparison group. How are we doing? Okay. So we've got the height of the comparison group, the slope of the comparison group. We don't have any slope difference because this is a main effect, but we have two height differences. The height of each of the target groups to the comparison group. This is the math. We start with this formula and this set of codes, and for the comparison group, Z1 and Z2 both equal zero. And simplifies to that formula. Just what I promised you. You can look at the model and see the height and the slope of the comparison group line. The target group for Z1, notice that these folks have a 1 on Z1 and a 0 on Z2. And when we plug those in, we come up with this formula. There's the slope of the line. And the height of the line is the height of the comparison group plus the difference between the height of this group and the comparison group. Again, I haven't lied to you yet. For the target group coded with Z2, so they have a 0 on Z1 and a 1 on Z2. We plug those numbers in. Still, that's the slope, because they all have the same slope. But now the height of this group is the height of the comparison group plus the height difference. And here's what we get. We start with, where the hell is the comparison group? Where the comparison group is given to us by A and B1, the height and slope of the comparison group. B2 tells us the height difference between the comparison group and treatment 1. And B3 tells us the height difference between the comparison group and treatment 2. They all have the same slope because it's a main effects model. How are we doing? There's a point at which these regression weights sort of transition from those damn little numbers to our friends. Because we look at them and that's all it is. So how far apart are these lines? That much. How much better does treatment 2 do than the control? That much better. Or that much worse. And by the way, how well is the control group doing? That much. What we have to remember is that all of these comparisons are being made when all the other variables have a value of 0, which means the mean of the centered quantitative variable. That's the easiest thing to miss. You want to know how well the treatment group does? At the mean of X, there you go. How much does it change as X changes? That much. Every regression weight is only one of four kinds and has a direct and immediate content interpretation. It's not just math, it's the content interpretation. No relationship between X and Y for any of the variables. No difference between the control and treatment 1, but a difference between the control and treatment 2. Here, there's a negative relationship between X and Y. And again, why are these lines parallel? It's a main effects model. We made them parallel because we didn't put interactions in. You with me? If you put interactions in, it doesn't create an interaction. Let me say that again. If you put an interaction term in a model, it doesn't create an interaction. It merely creates the opportunity. You can't produce an interaction in the data by putting an interaction term in the model. Does that make sense? You can miss an interaction in the data by not putting an interaction term in the model. Do you see the asymmetry? Putting an interaction term in doesn't create an effect. But not putting it in creates its null.
Which is why you do the scatter plot first?
Which is why you test the full model first. Okay. Because this, all of these scatter plots are going to look about the same. Okay. And what you need is lines through those scatter plots to figure out something more precise than, oh, damn, weak relationship.
What? You would never just do this then, would you?
Not unless you have some really good reason, or it's somebody else's model. So it's somebody else's model, you got to remember that, that, and that are all main effects. But would I? No. I never start with the main effects model. I start with the full model and see if I can get rid of the interaction to simplify things.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons we taught you nested models a while ago. Because that's going to be the test. We're going to compare this, which is the reduced model, to the model we're going to see in a few minutes, that's the full model with interaction terms added in. If the R squared drop is significant when you throw the interaction terms out, gather them back in. If there's no significant drop, stick with the main effects model and treat these lines as effectively, statistically parallel.